Welcome everybody to the NFL Hard Hit and on Everything Unscripted podcast. Tonight my co-host is Cliff. How are you, Cliff? So couldn't be with us today, so before we get started, we'll get the plugs out of the way.
Okay.
Sorry. Listen to Boxman and Smart on the Jersey Duke every Wednesday night. And every Friday. It can be found on all major podcast platforms. Hold on. And then listen to us every Friday night about 7 o'clock p.m. This week we're going to be reviewing Hell in a Cell and just talking wrestling. This Sunday will be the return of a top tier podcast with our very leader and co-host Daniel. We'll find out what the tier list will be on Friday. And then next Tuesday will be Hard Hits. Next Wednesday, another edition of Jeopardy. Sorry. Mm. So, want to get into any news?
We have a couple news today. Came out. Carolina Panthers release cornerback Eli Apple. The Cowboys trade away their defensive end. Everson Griffin to the Lions for a conditional 6th-round pick. And also in week 10, the Bengals-Steelers game have been moved from 1 to 4:25 on Fox.
Bengals and Steelers?
Yes.
Why did they move that?
That's no reason. They just get... I don't... No, they just decided to move it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's because of the Masters, but...
Oh, is that the week of the Masters?
Yeah.
Okay. There was no COVID case. Oh, no. Atlanta had a COVID case last week. But their game wasn't... No, not Atlanta. Oakland.
Yeah.
I mean, Vegas
yeah.
did. But they didn't have to cancel the game. They just moved the game from Sunday night to 4:25 to 4:00. They basically flip-flopped Arizona and Seattle and Tampa Bay and the Raiders. Isn't that what happened? They just flip-flopped.
Yeah, they just flip-flopped it, basically. And I think Sunday they got their game, too, because
yeah,
that game was awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, that game was amazing. Yeah, so... They could say it was because of COVID, but come on, they put the better game on. They wanted the better game on anyway. So it worked out. We'll start with the Thursday night game between our Eagles and the New York Football Giants. Your thoughts, Cliff? I'll let you take the floor first.
Looking at the Eagles, there's a tale of two things. The Eagles started out like really fast offense, but somehow reason when you watch the Eagles, you notice once going into halftime and then going into the third quarter, they really stopped doing what got them a lead in the first place.
Yep.
Please. And that's one thing I don't understand about this team. Like, they had the talent is there. I mean, NFC East is really banged up. It's there for the taking. I say if the Eagles should be favored, to win the East.
Yeah.
They are favored to win the East with a record of 6-9-1. That's
somebody couldn't
projected record. Yeah, that's the projected winning record of the NFC East, which is really bad to say.
Yeah. Could they even win the division with 5 wins?
Oh, probably. You the way this division is, I won't be surprised.
5-10, 5-10-1. That, wow.
You never know.
I forgot to ask this question last week, but I'll ask it now. Do you think they should just do the best? I mean, if we're talking about the regular format instead of this year's format, do you think they should just do away with the division winners? I mean, division, if there's a scenario like this year where an NFC East team has a worse record than both the wildcard teams, do you think they should do away with the division and let the 7th seed, the one that misses the playoffs by like a game, but has a better record than the division winner, make the playoffs instead of the team from the winner of that division?
No.
Not even this year?
I wouldn't do it this year. See, well, here's something you bring it up, because the NBA did something, I think, started last year, where they got rid of all their the top conference winners got the first 3 seeds followed by everybody else. This year,
yes.
Wherever you got seated. The NBA did away with that. I don't think it's going to be – it's not right for the NFL to do that. It works in the NBA because that division winner is still going to fall into that 8 top – that 16-team race, that 18 seeding. That division winner is going to fall in there. You're talking about 17th. Yeah. And then, yes, it's going to be – but the point is you're still a division champion, and then the playoffs, it's a whole new story. It's a brand new season. Win or go home.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
so yeah, I know the NFC East is like the worst division of football, but I remember every division always have their weak years. It's the NFC East now. It used to be the NFC West.
Yeah, the Seahawks remember that back in the day with NFC North? I mean, AFC North? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how bad that was? It still is?
Yeah.
And then besides Baltimore and Steelers?
Yeah. I mean, all divisions are not made to be strong. I mean, on paper, when we did our predictions earlier the year, on paper, you'll figure that the top 2 teams in NFC East was going to be Eagles and Cowboys. No injuries, setbacks, those are the top 2 teams. We base our division, our picks on scenarios and not what's going on between the COVID hits and then people getting injured. Notice that Prescott is out for the season. Ezekiel, the Cowboys' offensive line is all like banged up. The defense is giving up over 40 points a game. You look at the Eagles and their offense is just like dropping like flies. We had Alshon Jeffrey, who haven't played a game yet this year. DeSean Jackson played 2, and he's going IR.
Yeah, he tearing ACL or
yeah,
look like an. He did?
Yeah.
I mean, he's done for the year. His career might be over.
So, and then you have it's news that Jason Rhaegar might be able to play. Might be able to play this Sunday against the Cowboys. And then you have Washington. I think it's going to be a sleeper in the division.
They beat Dallas and they beat us.
Well, yeah, but then this is a different Washington team we played in week one. And that Dallas game really proved it. I mean, change of cornerbacks going between Dwayne Haskins. Now you have Kyle
Allen.
Kyle Allen there. was a major reason why this Washington team is a force to be reckoned with. And to tell you the truth, they're one of the top defenses of the NFL right now.
Yeah. That front seven is dangerous. We have some good. We have a young good receiver in Terry McLaurin. Yeah, from Ohio State. Carson didn't play bad. Carson didn't play bad, and he led the team to two drives that tied, that eventually won the game. He threw for the most yardage all season, 359 yards. So he threw a lot. He threw 43 times. And they only ran 26. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that.
A couple of the games that I do question Doug Peterson's late theory and late decision makings in that game. One, going fourth down. Going down four on fourth down, it was like, what are you doing? Just kick the field goal, go down seven.
By the goal line?
Yeah. Just kick the field goal. That should have never happened. That should have happened. Even though when they went for that fourth down play, the refs actually missed like a pass interference call, but I'm not going to hop around it.
Yeah. They missed a lot of calls.
And then you also, Jake Elliott missing a field goal before halftime. The Eagles left about a total 10 or at least 9 points on the board.
Yeah, they should have won by double digit.
Yeah.
Didn't Jake miss two field goals?
Yeah, he missed two field goals, so.
That's 6 points right there, and then they missed, and then they didn't go for a field goal, which is 9, or they got the touchdown, which went 13.
And
so
then the
they missed about 9 to 13
points.
For
2 points. Yeah, and then instead of going for the extra points, they decided to go for 2-point conversions, and it's just like.
Yeah.
It's not many plays you can do from two-yard line. And the way I think Del Peterson coaching, Del Peterson reminded me, must have watched like a lot of the XFL this year.
Oh, yeah. If they're playing home. I mean, the Giants dropped the ball. I mean, Ingram. He had a wide open catch. If he had caught that, that's basically game.
Yeah, game one. Right. And he just dropped it.
Yep. That play was the reason why the Giants lost. Otherwise, they would have probably scored another touchdown, and that would have been game. I mean, we expected a close game. It's always a close game between these two. It's always has been, always will be.
Especially in Philadelphia, it's been close games only in Philly for some strange reason or another.
Yeah, and then a few times we got the miracle at the Meadowlands. What was it, 3? The original one, the D-Jack, and what's the other
Westbrook.
One? Westbrook.
D-Jack was the third one.
What was the first one? In the 70s? Herman Edwards?
Yeah, the 70s.
And then
Herman Edwards.
Westbrook.
Had Brian Westbrook. And then D-Jack going on. And then 2011.
Oh, yeah. They weren't at the new stadium yet, right?
Yep, that was the new stadium. It was the Miracles in the Netherlands.
You have any more thoughts on that game? Besides, it was close. A win to win.
Yeah, win to win.
Yep.
Led them the first place, so we'll just go on there.
Exactly. And we have the Cowboys coming into town. It's Cowboys week.
And speaking
but
of Cowboys,
down to
let's just
third
get back
string.
To this football. Yeah.
They're down to their third string quarterback.
Andy Dalton got knocked out of the game. Right now, he's questionable. He has to press concussion protocol. See, he's able to be cleared to play. The Cowboys said they are not going to trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins. There's no words. They're coming out of their camp saying they're trying to trade for another quarterback because they believe that Andy Dalton is still going to be able to play this year. So looks like they're going to go with a third-string rookie. This third-string rookie quarterback making his quarterback this year. And speaking of that, and what happened in Washington to the Cowboys was totally embarrassing. And it's like probably the worst I ever seen the Cowboys play in a long, long, long time. And I want to ask you this. Do you think the Cowboys have given up on their head coach, McCarthy?
I actually think they did. They have. I mean, he threw his defense under the bus. No, he threw his team under the bus after Dalton got injured, didn't he? His entire team or defense or whatever. He called them out.
He called them out.
Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about that. The only thing I've been hearing is about how players on the Cowboys camp are upset, doesn't like how things are being taught or done well in Dallas. Players arguing with each other. You notice once Andy Dalton took that nasty hit and knocked him out of the game, that no Cowboys player stood up for that mess.
Yeah, he called out like the defense or something for not defending Andy Dalton after that hit.
Yeah, he called him out. I heard about that.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. When there's back and forth between the coach and the team is. I think that relationship has, unfortunately, has gone down. And McCarthy is a decent coach. I mean, I don't think it's a match made in heaven anymore. I think Jerry Jones probably I don't know if there's any saving his job if let's say they only win like 3 games. Does he lose his job after one? Or do they give him another season?
Depending, some people are trying to call for his job now. Some people are saying that if they don't fire Mike McCarthy, one person has to go is the defensive coordinator. Because the Cowboys nearly averaged almost about giving up over nearly 40 points a game. It had to be like the worst Cowboys defense I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Oh, I agree with that. I mean,
this key defense gave up nearly 300 yards on the ground to the Browns alone.
How much did they give up?
Rushing. Antonio Gibson had 128. On the ground by himself. Barber added 34 yards. JD.
397 yards. Wow.
Yeah.
If we can't score in this defense, there's problems. Carson Wentz should have a field day with this defense. He should. But will he? I think he will. He should. But we all know nothing comes easy with the Eagles this year. Or the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We might all think it's going to be a blowout and it's going to be a bloodbath, but I don't know.
You
never know.
A bloodbath when it comes to an Eagles-Cowboy game.
Yeah. We'll get to those the predictions later, but Washington beat Cowboys. We already talked about that. Buffalo struggled with the Jets. Too bad we don't have Doug here to tell us about that, but at least they survived 18-10.
Yeah.
Hey, they won. That's all that matters. They win is a win, like us. They get back on the winning track. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty, but hey, it's a divisional game. No divisional game is pretty.
Yeah, but we're just saying something. When you only kick field goals, when you're playing like the worst team in football right now in the New York Jets. Everybody's talking about how this is another coach that needs to go. He's another coach. Adam Gase needs to be done. Should have been going a while ago.
0-7.
Yeah. 0-7. Well, I don't even think about that. Everybody's talking about how Mike McCarthy might need to make firing. I said, so far, the Texans did the right thing. They got rid of Bill O'Brien. Falcons got rid of Dan Quinn, which is good. But this guy, this dude needs to go. I mean, this team doesn't want to play whatsoever. They need a new leader. Gase got rid of Le'Veon Bell, released him, and that big contract now is on their part of their salary cap. It's just like, wow.
I know, right? When's he gonna make his debut for Kansas City?
Maybe this past weekend.
Oh, we did? We'll talk about...
Yep.
Let's talk about that one. How did he do? Where is it? Le'Veon Bell. So it looks like they're going to split carries between the rookie and veteran Bell, which is suspected.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Andy Reid... He's not going to sit down a rookie who's playing good. He's going to use Bell when they need it. Bell is probably going to be the closer, the one that in the fourth quarter, you give it to him and he runs and they run down the clock. That's what I think they might do. Do you think that's what they might do?
Oh, well, Andy Reid is more like a running back by committee. He never... If you look at Andy Reid and the tendency to coach, Andy Reid always believed in having a dual running back system. With Philly, it was always like the three-headed monster, starting with Buckholder, Westbrook, and you had Staley at one point. Then you had McCoy. You had Shady comes in the mix. Now look at what you have in Kansas City. You have Edwards-Helaire, and you have Le'Veon Bell.
Exactly.
Le'Veon Bell. So,
and then, yeah, this wasn't much of a game. Kansas City manhandled them. They played in Kansas City. I don't know. I had high expectations for Denver, but they had too many injuries this year. That's not an excuse, but yeah. 43-16. Not much to say about that other than
Kansas City defense really just dominated the game.
Their defense is underrated. Do you see any of the Atlanta and Detroit game?
I think we mentioned that. No, we didn't mention
Atlanta
that.
Atlanta blowing another lead. And it wasn't a big lead, but it was another fourth quarter collapse. They had the game won. I was going to win a bet, and then all of a sudden Detroit goes downfield and scores a touchdown, and they won.
Well, so to tell you the truth, that everybody, what's up, even Todd Gurley yourself said he was upset about the a touchdown. He didn't want to go, but like momentum carried him in to the end zone, and there you get the 2-point conversion, and what makes it they got the 2-point conversion, makes it like a 6-point game, meaning they had to kick the extra point to actually make the win official if they would have scored a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah, I think Todd Gurley was supposed to, like, fall down to one, but he just fell, and his ball crossed the goal line beforehand. But that's what most teams do. They like the back of the end zone. They feel like they're going to let you score.
And had their offense have their chance
to win. What Atlanta wanted to do was just run the clock down, all bleed the clock out, and just walk off with a go home field goal.
Exactly. But it didn't happen. Detroit found a way to win. Detroit's 3-3. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you see the ending of the Cleveland and Cincinnati game?
Yeah, I saw that one too. It really hurt. That was hard to watch as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really disappointed in Cincinnati. Really disappointed in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Burrow played his game of his career. I mean, his short career. Him and Baker put on the show again, just like they did on the Thursday night game. And it's going to be a good rivalry between the two if Baker's is still the quarterback for Cleveland in the next 5 years. But for now, it looks like it's going to be a good competitive rivalry. It's the first two games between these two, 35-30 and 37-34, the Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield rivalry. Will you call it a rivalry yet? I don't know. I guess so.
I won't call it a rivalry because right now we're in like, it's just about.
It's a good back and forth. Yeah. Battle of Ohio, yeah. Two bad teams, but two franchise quarterbacks. I don't consider Baker a real franchise quarterback, but it's not here or there. Huh. But they both played well again. Bro is through for over 400 yards. Damn. Have yourself a game. Jeez. And Baker threw her 5 touchdowns. Wow. I thought he was injured.
Yeah, but he lost. They wound up losing Odell Beckham this year.
Yeah. Which is who's going to be in their number one now? It's going to be Landry? Or Higgins?
Yeah, I always looked at Landry, to tell you the truth. You figured that Odell was number one, but to tell you the truth, I will say Landry was always number one compared to anything else.
Yeah, because And Rashad Higgins is going to be a nice pickup for fantasy owners this week, too. Kareem Hunt had a good game. Cincinnati that need to find a running back. I don't think Bernard's a guy.
Well, I think Bernard, so they're fine with Bernard. I mean, Bernard's really stepped up.
Oh, Mixon.
Stepped up well.
I forgot about Mixon. He's injured, right?
Yeah, well, Mixon's injured, but you still have Bernard, and Bernard is actually was a starting running back before Mixon ever came.
Yeah. I mean, he lost his job, but he's a solid backup. I mean, he's a big, he's a good running back. But that Cleveland defense, I don't know. Are they good or are they average? They can give up points in a hurry. As we saw against Cowboys and Cincinnati, obviously.
I want to say this. Cleveland is who we thought they are. They're average team at most. And I think their Cleveland is more like a 500 team. If Cleveland would make the playoffs, I would give them the 7th seed. Record of 9-7, yeah. That's 9-7, 8-8 most. But I think Cleveland is on a way to having their first winning season in over 20 something years. So they're three wins away from doing that.
Wow, yeah, they're 5-2. Whew. And I thought the wheels were falling off for them. But who do they have next? Let's look at their next three games. You have the Raiders on Sunday, and then the Texans and Eagles. So Cleveland doesn't leave the state of Cleveland for another month. They're at home for them next month. They play the Raiders, Texans, and Eagles. That should be
a nice little home.
It should go at least 2-1. Maybe 3-0. You would think, right?
Maybe. You would think, but you never know.
Yeah. Especially against us, that's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to that one. The Raiders are going to give them a fight. The Raiders are always, they always bounce back after. They got killed by Tampa Bay, but I thought the Raiders were going to win. What was I thinking?
Speaking of it. Speaking of Raiders, yo, this one player on the Raiders is really making me sick right about now. Nelson Aguilar. He was making me sick to my stomach.
5 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown.
Dude can fall.
Damn.
I don't know where this dude found his hands at. But couldn't catch a cold in Philadelphia, but wound up making everything.
That, it always happens. Every time somebody leaves Philadelphia after they've been criticized, they go somewhere else and they become a better player. It's like leaving Philadelphia is a curse. I mean, staying in Philadelphia is a curse, but leaving it is a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden he's become their number, I'm not going to say their number one because the rookie's their number one. Maybe not right now, but Derek Carr likes him, apparently. Ugh.
Yeah.
Somehow, he's trying to make a statement, I guess. He wants to prove.
I don't know what kind of statement he's making that he can finally learn. He learned how to catch a ball. But
yeah. Yeah, Tom Brady threw for 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He actually threw no interceptions. Derek Carr continues to have a solid season. He had 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Josh Jacobs, he had a bad game, but playing Tampa Bay at front 7 is good. Didn't expect him to have a good game. Not much to say about that other than Tampa Bay did what they had to do. Did you watch? Did you see any highlights of Green Bay and Texans?
I watched that game. That was what I expected it to be, a very Packery win, especially with the return of Davante Adams.
Exactly.
Him and Aaron Rodgers felt like they never missed a beat.
Yeah, that game was closer than I thought it would be.
Well, they had two garbage touchdowns in the last, 10 minutes of the game, so it wasn't really as close. The score might make it seem like it was, but it was nowhere close. Packers dominated every step of the way.
Yeah. No Aaron Jones, but Jamal Williams stepped up and had a pretty solid game. The return of Davante Adams. This is his first game back, right? The first game of the season?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
First game is... I think it was the second. He has 36 catches, 449, and 4 touchdowns. He must have played the first game. But he has 13 catches for 196. Talk about game. But there's somebody else later on Sunday Night Football that topped that. We'll get to that soon. Man. Have yourself a game. And then New Orleans and Carolina. New Orleans snuck out a win against Carolina. Carolina's just, what do you think of Carolina? Are they, what kind of team are they? Just an average team?
I think their team trying to make up or missing Christian McCaffrey, but doing a good job of filling in. Mike Davis is not a Christian McCaffrey that everybody will love. Why don't? But he is a great replacement for him right now. It's been ruled that Christian was supposed to be playing this Thursday night against the against Atlanta, but he's now ruled out, and he probably won't come back until after to the fall
bye week.
Yeah, I'm not even sure when it's a bye.
That game's in Carolina. Okay. What else? Any other game you want to talk about? Oh, Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
Yeah. This is a game that I was really surprised with, but I was also right about. I told you last week that if Derrick Henry was held under 100 yards, Tennessee was going to lose.
And he was, yep.
Yeah, 75 on the ground. Bill scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he did. I watched the second half. I watched the fourth quarter, about the second half of the game, because I was at work the first half. I kept track, and Pittsburgh was dominating this game, and then when I started watching, Tennessee started coming back. So, and they had a chance to tie it, and Kraski missed the kick, and Pittsburgh could have gone to overtime, and who knows what happened in overtime, and Pittsburgh came out with a win. They are 6-0, they're the only team undefeated, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's the only team undefeated. Yes, they are.
Yep. Wow. Now we'll get to our rankings later, but do you think they are clearly the best, not clearly, but the best team in the NFL right now? All around?
I will say yes, record-wise. I won't say the best team in the NFL right now, because Pittsburgh still have a huge test coming up this week. I mean, you passed one test with Tennessee, but now you go in divisional football now with your biggest rival of all time with Baltimore.
They can beat Baltimore and Baltimore.
I say if you beat Baltimore, then yes, I think this is probably one of the best Pittsburgh teams you've seen in a long time.
And what a quarterback makes a difference. Big Ben returns, and this is what happens when a franchise quarterback like Big Ben coming back. How big an impact he was on this team. And he's playing solid. Presence on the field is big for this team. He is truly the heart and soul of that team. And right now, we could say Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell weren't the problem. We're the problem. It was Big Ben that wasn't the problem. You remember that controversy where they were trying to So you're gonna get rid of Big Ben and keep Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, but Pittsburgh made the right decision.
Sure. Yeah,
they found a replacement in Connor and Juju, but do you think they could beat Kansas City? Can they even play Kansas City this year? They play Kansas City? No, they don't. But
that
if they play,
it would be a true test right there. If you a true number one team, I think that would be a true test. But 32, I don't think they can beat Kansas City. I don't think they're there yet to beat Kansas City.
You don't think their defense is that
you have to have someone to. I mean, to beat Kansas City, you have to play like a perfect game. With a little bit of luck.
Yeah. Just like the Raiders did.
That was luck.
That
was perfect.
I mean, that was luck, and maybe Kansas City took them lightly, too, and the fact that it was a divisional game.
Yeah.
What else? San Francisco pounded the Patriots. What happened to the Patriots? Let's talk about this. What has happened to the Patriots? I know you were a big believer, not a big believer, but you were a believer in the Patriots this year.
I was, and then I want to say this. What happened to the Patriots is injuries, players coming down,
COVID,
and then Bill Belichick not being Bill Belichick. I think it's a big debate. It's like, can Bill Belichick actually win without Tom Brady? And tell you the truth, I don't think he can. I'm really starting to figure that Tom Brady was really the one that saved Bill Belichick for keeping his job with the Patriots as long as he did.
I think something happened with his. Everything changed when they had COVID. Like, the schedule, because remember they had to move their game twice. And then Belichick canceled some practices. And it just snowballed after that. Cam came back. He hasn't been the same since the last first two games he came back. This week they have a big test against Buffalo. So that's going to be, could have been a good game, but who knows? It could still be.
But
yeah,
San Francisco right now, it's gonna be a good game.
San Francisco, all of a sudden, has turned things around. Jimmy G. I mean, he didn't have a great game. He had two interceptions. It was their ground game that did all the work in their defense. Jeff Wilson had three touchdowns, but he also got injured, unfortunately. He got injured on a touchdown, didn't he?
Yeah. That's it.
Which was, it looked like a bad injury. Do we know any updates on his injury?
Yeah, I don't have any updates on his injury.
Yeah. Hope for a speedy recovery, because I think he's solid back. Yeah, San Francisco goes into New England and just destroys them. The Chargers in Jacksonville, another rookie, Hubert, he's taking over Los Angeles. He's a new star in Los Angeles in the football. He's better than golf. Do you think he's better than golf? Or is it too early?
I'll say it's too early. I mean, golf is not really that good of a quarterback, if you ask me myself.
But it's still too early. It's only still early. But, yeah. He put on a show. He had 3 touchdowns, 347 yards. Whew. Wow. Talk about 2 rookies this week stepping up. Burrow and Hubert.
Yeah, but I'll say Justin Hubert has to be, like, my eyes on favorite for MVP. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
It's either going to be him or Burrow. Do they even play each other? I wonder.
Not sure.
No. You don't. That sucks. That would have been a good matchup. You two rookies.
Yeah.
We have a good future of these two rookies. I like these two rookies. Two of my favorite rookies. Fantasy-wise and real-life. They're both good. Now let's talk about the game of the week. Arizona and Seattle. Another blown lead. This time it's at the hands of at the hands of Arizona defeating Seattle. I called this last week. I said the Cardinals were going to win.
I think out of all games I've seen Russell Wilson played, I think this had to be the sloppiest one he ever done. I mean, I figured at one point I thought it was actually going to end in a tie.
That's what I thought.
Still going overtime. And then he just gives it right back. Like, he just gave the game away.
At that point, they should have just played for the tie.
The go-ahead touchdown was called back.
To DK. Right?
Yeah. Touchdown was called back. I think Tyler Lockett, he was really impressive in that game. A disappointment was DK Metcalf was a very disappointment in this game.
15 catches, 200 yards. Wow. 15 catches, 20 targets. He was targeted 20 times. Jeez. I mean, the thing with Seattle receivers is whoever is the one that's that hot, Russell throws to. Whether it's DK, Moore,
Lockett.
In this case, Lockett.
But I think Russell
was a good game.
A little too much. I mean, some throws
he was.
Actually probably wish he had thrown that, had that.
I think all his interceptions were bad. Especially the last one. He was trying to be the hero like he was against Minnesota.
Yeah, and that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, not in this game. Arizona's better than that. Arizona, all of a sudden, 5-2. As you said earlier, this is the best division in football, and there could be 4 teams coming out of this division, which that's interesting. And we still don't know who's going to win that. It could be any of us. It could be... So, the NFC West is up for grabs, and the NFC East is up for grabs. But the best division and the worst division. So,
Very true.
And now, did we miss any games?
We got
last night.
Yeah.
It's with a doozer. Nick Foles, the Bears don't have any offense. I mean, Nick Foles is Nick Foles. He's love him. He's just inconsistent, as we said last week. He'll have his good games, he'll have his bad games. And this was a bad game for all around. Bears offense couldn't move the ball. They scored 3 points. They were lucky to get 10. And the Rams should have won by, they probably should have won by 4 touchdowns, to be honest. But the Bears made some.
But to tell you the truth,
yeah.
I think this was about, it was about between the two defensive, especially Aaron Donald and Kamil Mack, just basically. So the last, before this game, the last twice they played, the Bears really dominated defensively over the Rams. They had the number. Put them in check. So, for the Bears defense to play the way they did last night, really disappointed me.
Exactly. Yeah, other than that, it was a snoozer. I even turned raw a couple of times because it was so boring. Did you watch raw?
No.
I mean, I watched it a little bit because I missed the Randy Orton segment, so I wanted to watch that. But, yeah, that's all in the recap. We'll get to our top five teams.
Yeah, you can start it out.
Want to go first? Huh?
You can go start it out.
Okay. All
right.
Me? Or are you?
What? Yeah. You can start it out. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Number five. I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans. Number four. I'm going to say the Green Bay. I'm going to say Tampa Bay. Number three, I'm still going to say Seattle, even though they should have won that game. I'm going to say Seattle. Two, Kansas City. And number one, Arizona. I mean, not the Steelers.
All right. I want to go my top five teams of this week. I'm going to go so number five, I'm going to put as the Eagles. Number four, I'm going to put as the Rams. Number three, I want to get to San Francisco. Number two, I'm going to give to Detroit for their comeback win. And number one, I want to give to Arizona. That's going to be our top five teams a week.
Nice. Our top three MVP of the week. You want to start this one out?
I'll start this one out. I'll say number three, I want to give to Carson Wentz. Number two, I want to give to Davante Adams. And my number one, I want to give to Kyler Murray.
My number three is Davante Adams. My number two is Carson Wentz, and number one is Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
I'll say Tyler Lockett and Devontae because they both had over 10 catches and 2-3 touchdowns each. So I'll say picks for week 8. We got a good game on Thursday, I think. Atlanta and Carolina. Atlanta comes in a 2.5 point underdog, 49 is the over under. I think this is hard. Because I think that Atlanta can win. I'm gonna take Atlanta. It feels like the type of game they're going to win.
I don't know. fun. We kept playing against Carolina. I think this is the game that they're going to throw the game away again. And Carolina's going to wind up beating them.
It's gonna
so
be a
I
good
won't
game.
Go with Carolina.
New England, Buffalo. And Buffalo is 3.5 point underdog favorites, over under 43. I'm going to say Buffalo wins in the route.
Yeah. I think
I
New England's
to win
not
by two
where
times.
It used to be. Yeah, New England's not
yeah.
where it used to be. Going into this game, I figured that both these teams are going to be like 4-2, 5-2, 5-1-ish. And Patriots have been a huge let now. So I think if
so
Buffalo
division,
plays a card, right,
it's Buffalo's division
Buffalo.
To lose. Right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
And it's probably between Buffalo and Miami now. Depending on how Miami plays as a rookie. I'm not saying Buffalo's going to run away with it, but they could. They could. Yeah. I mean, Buffalo continues to improve. They struggled for 2 weeks, but they found a way to win against the Jets. So maybe they get back on the roll. We'll save the Dallas and Philly game for last, of course. The game of the year right now, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, the biggest rivalry in football, most hated rivalry besides maybe Dallas and Philadelphia. But there's actually hate between the players, I think. Baltimore is 3.5. I think it should be 1.5, but that's just me. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. It seems like the road team always wins in this series. Haven't you noticed that? It's Baltimore always wins in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I haven't really noticed it, but if I had to make a pick, I would go with Baltimore. Spare them going after by being more well-rested. I figured they'll be the ones that catch Pittsburgh sleeping.
It's going to be a good game. As always. Tennessee and Cincinnati. Tennessee is a 6-point favorite. Over under 54.5. I take the over and I take Tennessee.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's going to have a big game.
Yeah, this is the type of game I figured that Tennessee will feast on, especially with Derrick Henry.
Yep. Exactly. So we both got Tennessee. Vegas and Cleveland. I'm going to take Vegas here. This is the type of game that I think Vegas should steal.
I don't think they're going to steal. I just think they're going to beat the brakes off of Cleveland.
Yeah. I think the Browns, things are back after they beat Cincinnati. I think they were lucky that they won that game. Cause he was close to that edge of the out of bounds. That was close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders. We both got the Raiders.
Yep.
Indy and Detroit. Indy's coming off the bye. Detroit's coming off a late second win. I'm going to take Indy.
Yeah. Indy should win. This defense will step up. Big time.
Yeah.
Expect a big thing from this defense. And just, I don't know.
And that division is between Indy and Tennessee, right? You think? It's
correct.
Tennessee's division to lose. Just like it's the Eagles' division to lose, and Minnesota and Green Bay, part two. Another big rivalry. I'm gonna take Green Bay here. They won the first game easily. I think they're gonna win this one. It's in Lambeau, so I'm gonna take Green Bay.
Yeah. I wanna take on Green Bay in this to win too. I think it might be closer in the first week.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. I can see it. Now look, hey, listen to this line. Kansas City Chiefs are a 19.5 point favorite against the New York Jets. That's never I don't think that's ever happened. Maybe one time before that a spread like this in the NFL. You never see a spread like this in the NFL. 19.5 point favorite. That's how bad the New York Jets are.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a total blowout, but it could be. So I'll take Kansas City and some cover. I think we could see a shutout.
I expect to beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah. LA travels to the LA Rams travel to Miami, who's coming off a bye. It's going to be the debut of Tua making his NFL debut. NFL start debut. He played, a couple of snaps in the week before. Goodbye. I'm going to take the Dolphins here. The Rams have to travel cross country. They play Sunday night. Miami's coming off a bye. So, traveling cross country all the way to LA is not easy.
It might not be easy, but I think the Rams are going to do it and going to prove to why Tua should not be started in the first place. It's not his time yet.
Yeah, we might see Fitzpatrick at halftime if it all goes bad. The other LA team playing the Denver Broncos. I'm going to take the Chargers here. I think Denver is done, unfortunately. And I think the Chargers can. It's going to be a good game. These two teams always have good games. So I'm going to take the Chargers to win by a field goal.
Yeah. The Chargers should win this.
Another rivalry, San Francisco and Seattle. Seattle, I'm going off that loss on Sunday Night Football. I think Seattle wins here. I think they bounce back.
Yeah. Personally want to say San Fran. But I think Seattle, after the loss he took, might be looking out for to prove that that was the fluke they had against the Cardinals.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go with Seattle.
New Orleans and Chicago. I want to say Chicago. If they're at home, I think their defense can step up. Drew Brees is not good on the road anymore. It was always average on the road, especially outdoors. And this is going to be cold, probably windy, maybe rainy, snowy, who knows. I think Chicago to win a ugly game.
I don't know. I want to go to New Orleans to win this one this week.
Yeah, it could go either way. This could be the game that Nick Foles shines. It's against New Orleans. So, you never. This is probably the type of game he throws for 300 yards. And then Monday night football game, Tampa Bay travels to New York, play the New York Football Giants, Monday night football. Brady versus Danny Dimes. I'm going to take Tampa Bay here. And I don't think it's going to be close. I think they can win like 45. I think they can put 45 up on the time.
I'll take Tampa on a blowout. A major blowout.
Yeah. And now the Sunday night game. Dallas Cowboys versus Philadelphia Eagles. Normally, this would be Dak Prescott versus Carson Wentz, but we all know Dak Prescott is out for the season with a broken ankle. Now, it could be Andy Dalton versus Carson Wentz. Dalton's cleared to play, which I think he might be. But if he's not, I think Philadelphia wins in a route. But if he is, I think it's going to be close. So it all depends on if Dalton plays. If it's a close game or not.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think the Eagles are going to finally show some dominance. Blow the Cowboys out.
We need a blowout. We haven't had a blowout yet. This is the time for a blowout, isn't it?
That is true.
We haven't had that blowout yet, and this is the perfect time to do it. You have the Cowboys who are fractured outside locker room, inside the locker room. Organization is falling apart. This is the time for a blowout on national TV. Perfect time.
But
we know it's probably not going to happen. Who knows, right?
Right.
Anything else for this week?
No. Nothing else this week.
That was a good show. We got through that pretty fast. No other news?
Yeah, no other news. Just hopefully for
no COVID news yet. There hasn't been any COVID news, right? Not yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
And the trade deadline is next Tuesday, so we'll talk about that on our show next Tuesday. That's the end of selection day, so everybody go out and vote. We're not going to tell you who to vote for, so on here, it's everybody. Just go out and vote. For the hard hits, thank you, Clayton, for coming on. We'll talk to you
next week,
right? Yeah.
Right.
And you're going to be on Sunday, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Thanks, Clayton.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Later.